I was trying to think today about something that is common among all business owners. You know, it gets excited in the morning, gets us out of bed, looking forward to getting to the office or the factory. Doesn't matter if you're in business for yourself or you have 1,000 employees. If this is the first day you've been in business or you've been in business for 40 years, it's a common thread through every industry. And what I came up with was new business. I don't think anything more than landing that new contract, that new PO, that new engagement gets us business owners more excited every day. It also, when you're thinking of selling your business or ready to sell your business, gets the buyers excited because they are really excited about growth and revenue. But they like the growth, they like the revenue, but the but is, how do you get the sale? Because you get very analytical during the process. Is it new business? Is it repeat business? Is it a reoccurring revenue, a one-time contract? What's your cost to acquire new business? What's your sales cycle? What is, the profit margin on this? Who's the competition? How do you measure sales? How do you track your pipeline? All these things come up when you're looking to sell your company about that sale, which you're all excited about, and then you get bombarded with all these questions. And how you answer those questions is critical when you're ready to sell your business to a successful transaction. Hi, everybody. My name is Keith D., president of Osage Advisors. Welcome back to our podcast, The Ins and Outs of Selling a Business. And to help us break us down that sale and everything that goes behind that sale, we're really excited to have today with us Jeff Clare of Clairvoyant Consulting. Jeff, good morning.
Thanks, Keith. Good to be here.
You know, sales, right? Lifeblood of a business.
Absolutely.
Without it, you don't have a company.
Nothing happens. Right? Absolutely right.
So, Jeff, maybe give a little background. You've been a seasoned sales consultant for many years. You've worked with startups, companies in growth mode, companies that are having problems. Maybe a little bit about your background.
Sure.
Then we can kind of break down this whole sales cycle, which is critical to the understanding of what that lifeblood of a business.
Absolutely. Happy to do so. So you're right. I have been doing this for quite a while, but I didn't get into sales initially. I was on the other side of the table for a good portion of my career. I was on the buying side. And one of the frustrations that I had as a buyer, buying at the time was fashion apparel, was that the people selling me didn't know what made me successful, what my metrics were, and it was very frustrating. So I realized that if you can understand what your client's needs are and you can satisfy it, you could be very successful. And I made the move to the sales side of organizations. But I always had that buyer's mentality that I use and drove myself forward with that. And that's really been kind of a guiding light ever since. Because in reality, you can't force somebody to buy something. You really have to identify the needs that they have.
Right.
And that's really where it goes forward from there.
So I used this analogy before, right? And you go into a company. So we had two business owners. They start up the same day, next to each other, same territory, similar product lines. You fast forward 10 years. One company is still doing the same thing it did on day one, 5 employees, a couple million in sales. And the other company has expanded a factory to 100,000 square feet. It's got 500 employees. It's doing 100 million in volume. What happened, right? Why is such a big difference, And it really comes down to revenue, right? Sales, and how you went about that.
Exactly.
So what are some of the key things that when you get engaged, that you start to look at to see, answer those why questions?
Right. And those why questions are important. And we take our prospects and our clients through a rigorous questions assessment to figure out where their gaps are. And the first point I start with is sales strategy. What is their strategy? What is their business strategy? How do they fit in the marketplace? What is their target market? What is the overall market? Is it a growing industry or is it a shrinking industry? Meaning, and you can be successful in both depending on how you go about it. So we really start and I dive into what the strategy is. And the question I ask is, what makes you different? What is your unique value proposition? Many owners really don't know it. They're so entrenched in their business, working on the day-to-day, they sometimes don't have a chance to look up and say, well, what makes me different?
Yeah, they can't step back because they're so busy.
They're so busy.
And they're in their silo. And then you come in and you're asking the same questions right now that the buyers of businesses are going to ask every single time.
Every single time.
And how you answer those questions, like we talked about just a few minutes ago, is critical. So when you come in and you're like the owner sitting there and like, what? They don't know how to answer your question, right? So that's where your value add comes in. How do you start to work through that process, so to speak?
Exactly what it is a sales process. Then the next really key component is, what does your sales process look like? Do you have a documented process? How do you go from identifying leads to developing prospects to nurturing those prospects into new business? And most don't. It's by gut. Each person, if they have a sales team, is doing it on their own. In many cases, it's an owner who's running a sales organization, never got into this business to do so, was never trained for it. In many cases, they don't even like it. And I don't blame them. It's a different skill set. So I try to unweight that, take that burden off their shoulders.
Yeah, some of these owners are, backgrounds are mechanical engineering, software engineering, you name it. And they really come up with a new concept, new product, but they're not salespeople.
Right.
They have to be.
They have to.
Otherwise, you have no business. And they're kind of forced into that role. And they kind of, I don't want to say wing it, but they kind of wing it. Yeah. Until they get, again, that example was one owner recognized that, you know what, this is a lot more than I thought it was. And the other owner says, well, I'm just going to keep comfortable because I like it what I'm doing. And so that person goes in and starts to develop a sales organization.
Exactly.
Right. And then, which is bringing in people.
And it goes back to your initial question where you said, what makes two companies that are in the same industry, that started the same platform, why has one become much bigger, much more successful in the eyes of outside organizations, and the other has kind of stayed where they were? Well, what got you where you are isn't going to get you forward. And that's why you see many companies, like startups, you have an individual, an innovator, started a business that got it up and going, doesn't necessarily have a skill set to lead it forward. And that person in some cases takes a secondary role to allow somebody that is great in organizational development to move that business to the next level. And that's really what I do.
Right. And so what are, like you mentioned, so if you go into a company and say they're starting competition, technology, it changes every day.
Every day.
And if you're not aware of your surroundings, you are going to find yourself in a deep hole pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go into assessment, like you were talking about, and you look at their product offerings, whether it's a shrinking industry, and they're like, there's a lot of niches that people don't want to be anymore, mm-hmm. and people are very successful in.
Very much so.
And buyers, by the way, love niche businesses, right? It's really important. So you go in there, and you're looking at it, and my sales have been flat for 3 years, and they look at you and they say, help. I can't figure it out.
Right.
Right. So you go in there. And so what are the touch points that you really focus on in something like that? Because that's a big thing, is like flat revenue streams is not something that buyers are excited about.
No.
Right.
So a lot of times I'll do assessments and I'll do interviews with the people within the company and try to get facets of everyone. Talk to the owner, talk to the salespeople, the director of sales, get an understanding of what their methodology is and what they're doing. And in many, many cases, it really is a focus in an issue of two areas. They're not doing great outreach, either from a marketing standpoint mm-hmm. or from a sales standpoint. They're not reaching out, talking to people. At the end of the day, with all the technology that's available, what seems to be really a benchmark for every company, unless it's a highly just single transactional company, is nurturing relationships. At the end of the day, it's still a relationship-driven business. So what is being done to get out there on a real regular basis? What are the key performance indicators that I look for of activity? And activity is a really key point.
Yeah, you know, it brings me back. I just thought about this. There was a commercial like 15 years ago about, you know, we need to get back and meet our and see our customers, right? And it's I forgot what it was, but the owner walked into the sales meeting and he had 7 plane tickets. You're going here. You're going here. You're going here. Says, let's get out there.
Right.
Go see our friends. These people who have been trusted us, providing products or service over the years, and go talk to them.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I do think that you're right. That's a aspect of that whole sales process. You know, you can have all technology in the world. You can have all these different feeders for monitoring and everything. But you know, get out there and meet your clients, our customers. There's no substitution, whether it's direct meeting them or a trade show, things along those lines. You know, so you sit down with your owner and you say, look, you need to get out there. You know, what's the reaction to something like that? Because it's going to cost me money, right? I mean, do I really want to do this?
And it costs money and they may not have the temperament to do that. Right. So I've got a client I've been working with. They were highly successful and they grew rapidly in the financial service industry. Well, there were certain situations and certain customers got very big, didn't need them anymore. They brought everything in-house. And others, because of changes in the business, fell away and went out of business. And they found themselves very quickly shrinking in size. Now, their business over decades had always been just a referral base. People knew them. People came to them. They had almost no outbound sales process whatsoever. So we've been building that and putting that together. But one of the portions that has been very difficult is getting the owners to go and really say, okay, you need to go out and network. You need to really get out there, press the flesh, get into different organizations, let people know you're here and let them know what your value proposition can be.
Yeah. I see this. I look in the mirror in the morning. I said, you know what? You know, sometimes you're running these ebbs and flows.
Mm-hmm.
And we're a service business, so you know we're all about interaction, relationship-driven companies. You know that's what we're about, right? So I said to myself, and we're really busy right now, which you know, knock on wood, is great. But I said to myself the other day, like, I need to get out there more often. And I went to a meeting here. I just looked at my calendar next 3 months, and I booked in several different networking things that you know 6 months ago I would have said I'm not going to do that. We've got too much on the plate.
Mm-hmm.
Owners like myself, like you, we're always looking over our shoulder. Where's it coming from? You know, how am I going to get that next sale? Right.
Right.
It's always on your mind, top of mind. Because if you don't have if your revenue starts to decline, your value of business declines, or how do you explain that? So again, when I looked at like buyers, you know, love sales, but the nitty gritty details, those little things behind it, you know, what's your sales pipeline like? How do you attract customers, right? All that kind of stuff. I mean, where do you come into from your consulting? Because the details behind that sale, people don't see, but how you manage that, measure that, and you know, it is like critical.
It is. Well, one of the products we have really kind of touches on that to a degree. You know, the whole quality of earnings
right.
approach, which is so important in a sale, particularly, private equity companies. Well, we also do a quality of, instead of earnings, what are the quality of sales? What does that look like?
Interesting.
Because, you know, are they long-term contracts or short-term contracts? Is it recurring revenue or is it one by one? What is the health of that sales pipeline look like?
Right.
It's so critically important when a company is being evaluated to be purchased.
Yeah, and to add to that, you could have, and like we see this all the time, your revenues can go from 10 to 12 to 15 to 20.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and a buyer's going to come in and you look at it and say, that's great, but how come customer one sales are flat versus mm-hmm. customers, you know, what happened there? And you're like, my revenues are up 60% over the last 4 years. But you're asking me, and you have to explain, they need to know, right? Devil's in the details. Why is customer one sales down mm-hmm. or flat? And how do you explain that?
Right.
Right?
Right.
And those are the kind of things, and like you must see that all the time.
You've got to dig in there. And the other problem that happens with so many companies, you know, they start out, they have a pretty mixed portfolio of companies, but as time goes on, their strong companies get stronger. And the next thing they know, they're looking at their portfolio and 80% of their business may be done in with two clients.
Yeah. Concentration, which is a big issue.
And then how do they mitigate that risk moving mm-hmm. forward? Because it's a huge risk. A hiccup that a large company like that can have can put you out of business.
So we work in the lower market, right? Companies less than $250 million mm-hmm. in revenues. And we have a number of companies, and that natural, that are have customer concentration. Mainly companies that are in, you know, aerospace. You only have a handful of customers. And or, you know, medical, there's only a handful. So we had a situation, again, years ago where, not so many years ago, where, you know, 78% of their business was through one customer and the buyer's looking at it. And so when you're talking to people looking to buy your business, they look at revenues and look at your profitability, and then we want to learn more. Mm-hmm. And then once you open up and, you know, they sign a CA and you send them, they say, oh, you know, 80% of them, 90% of the buyers are going to fall away because, oh, you got customer concentration. Mm. But they don't, concentration doesn't mean that, you know, they don't understand the stickiness
right.
of their relationship.
Huge stickiness.
And so they walk away from the deal because they have some analysts look, oh, it's on their list. 99 things that we're not going to do a deal, one we will. Right, mm-hmm. Concentration, if it's concentration, we don't talk about. But they want to be in the aerospace business, there's going to be concentration. They don't look at what goes behind that, mm-hmm. that stickiness factor. I mean, the value add that you provide, it could be an assembly of multiple products. You could be shipping directly to the end user. You could be doing all the engineering backlog. There's a million questions. And like, you get into that and you say you have concentration with a customer, client said, what do you guys do for that client, right?
You do. And in those kind of situations, it's important to understand what that relationship is between customer and supplier. And if you can, if you know, the NDAs allow you to do, to have that kind of conversation with that client, like how long term has this been? What is their future outlook? How are they growing? To see how long that stickiness can really last.
Yeah, it's almost, I mean, from a standpoint, like, you know, with due diligence when if you're not have a, what I'd say, well-documented, mapped-out sales process. And I'm just talking about customer and mm-hmm. making a sale and shipping a problem. I'm talking about all the tools, all the documentation, all the reporting mechanisms behind it. Then you are raising a level of skepticism in the buyer. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, because they don't know your business.
Right.
They don't know your people. They don't know who's responsible for the sale. And so, you know, owners tend to get a little bit sometimes exhausted with the questions, put it nicely.
I believe it, sure.
Right? Because, hey, what do you mean? I've been doing this for 40 years. I've had a great lifestyle. I've made tremendous staff. I mean, we have a great culture. We have great employees. And you're banging on me on stuff like that is like, you know, it gets frustrating mm-hmm. to them, which is understandable.
Right.
Because, you know, they've never had someone really, you know, do a full, you know, MRI CAT scan on their business like this.
Right.
And so someone like yourself, you know, when you go into, into these companies and you have those initial in questions and interview and you get the response and the owner is kind of looking at you, go, what are you talking about? And, you know, convincing them that the investment in us, meaning, you know, Clairvoyant mm-hmm. or your team, in kind of like putting a plan together, it's just going to put you in a better position when you're ready to make that sale.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
How do you sell them? How's that?
So there's a few things, and I work with an enormous number of companies that are family businesses yep. and they're multi-generation, and owners are thinking, what's the next step? Do I pass this down? Is it going to go to the next generation? Am I going to do a sale? And in many of these cases, it's the owner, maybe the rainmakers, running the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I sit and talk to them. And I say, you know, my role coming in is to grow and generate revenue. But in spite of that, we can increase your valuation tremendously just by putting a structure together.
Right.
Because without that structure together, somebody coming to buy your business, if you are so integral to the running of the business and the bringing in of new business and the relationship you have with key clients, either you are going to have to be very comfortable with the new ownership and be staying along for that ride for a very long period of time, or they're going to walk away because there's no value without you, the owner.
Right.
And putting the structure together now allows for you to step back.
And that's, you know, one aspect that we talk a lot about on this podcast. is, you know, who owns that customer relationship? Right? And if every, you know, who owns this and who owns, and if everything points back to you as the owner, you know, you're not going to be, it's not going to be easy for you to walk away from the company post-closing.
Right.
You're going to have to make an investment in time that is something may not be of interest to you because now you're dealing with someone that who's now your new partner in an aspect that you haven't had to deal with or be accountable for in the future, in the past. So those type of things are, you know, so putting plans in, putting teams together, it, there's no better answer than when we're talking to a potential buyer and they say, who owns the customer relationship on this account? And I said, well, that's Julie over here. She's been with me for 10 years. She's been managing this territory for, you know, for us. She's increased it from 8 to 10 to 12 million. And, you know, that's her. And then there's Steve over here, and he's doing everything else. And so when buyers hear that, it takes a reduces that skepticism and realize they have a team in place. So, you know, Jeff, this has been great. And, you know, sales, and more sales, right? It means great, but there's a lot behind it.
There's a ton
and
of mind.
I'd love to have you come back and talk a little bit about, some case studies, some things where you were brought in and talk about how you were able to get them from X to Y to Z and, you know, in the future. And if you can come back, that would be terrific.
I'd love to do that, Keith. Thank you.
Well, Jeff Clare, Clairvoyant Consulting, thank you for being here.
My absolute pleasure.
Again, my name is Keith D. Thank you for joining us today on our podcast, The Ins and Outs of Selling a Business. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please feel free to subscribe at our YouTube channel. Any questions, you can give me a call at 860-767-3273, extension 1001, or shoot me an email at kdee@osageadvisors.com. To learn more about Osage and how we help business owners sell their companies, you could also visit our website at osageadvisors.com. Thanks again for being here and have a great day.